They made their way back through the wet streets to the viaduct and collected the coats and the blanket from the car and went on to the railway embankment, where they climbed up and crossed the tracks into the woods and got the cart and headed out to the highway.
"What if that little boy doesn't have anybody to take care of him?" he said. "What if he doesn't have a papa?"
"There are people there. They were just hiding." He pushed the cart out into the road and stood there. He could see the tracks of the truck through the wet ash, faint and washed out, but there. He thought that he could smell them. The boy was pulling at his coat.
"Papa," he said.
"What?"
"I'm afraid for that little boy."
"I know. But he'll be all right."
"We should go get him, Papa. We could get him and take him with us. We could take him and we could take the dog. The dog could catch something to eat."
"We can't.
And I'd give that little boy half of my food."
"Stop it. We can't." He was crying again.
"What about the little boy?" he sobbed. "What about the little boy?"
At the crossroads, they sat in the dusk and he spread out the pieces of the map on the road and studied them. He put his finger down. "This is us," he said, "right here." The boy wouldn't look. He sat studying the twisted matrix of routes in red and black, with his finger at the junction where he thought that they might be, as if he'd see their small selves crouching there.
"We could go back," the boy said softly. "It's not so far. It's not too late."
They made a dry camp in a woodlot, not far from the road. They could find no sheltered place to make a fire that wouldn't be seen, so they did without. They ate each of them two of the cornmeal cakes, and they slept together, huddled on the ground in the coats and blankets. He held the child, and after a while the child stopped shivering, and after a while he slept. "The dog," he remembers, "followed us for 2 days. I tried to coax it to come, but it wouldn't. I made a noose of wire to catch it. There were 3 cartridges in the pistol, but none to spare. She walked down the road. The boy looked after her, and then he looked at me, and then he looked at the dog. And he began to cry and beg for the dog's life, and I promised I would not hurt the dog. A trellis of a dog with the hide stretched over it. The next day it was gone. That's the dog he remembers. He doesn't remember any little boys." He put a handful of dried raisins in a cloth in his pocket, and at noon they sat in the dead grass by the side of the road and ate them. The boy looked at him.
"That's all there is, isn't it?"
he said. "Yes."
"Are we going to die now?"
"No."
"What are we going to do?"
"We're going to drink some water. Then we're going to keep going down the road."
"Okay."
In the evening, they tramped out across a field, trying to find a place where their fire wouldn't be seen, dragging the cart behind them over the ground. So little of promise in that country. Tomorrow, they'd find something to eat. Night overtook them on a muddy road. They crossed into a field and plodded on toward a distant stand of trees, skylighted stark and black against the last of the visible world. By the time they got there, it was dark of night. He held the boy's hand and kicked up limbs and brush and got a fire going. The wood was damp, but he shaved the dead bark off with his knife, and he stacked brush and sticks all about to dry in the heat. Then he spread the sheet of plastic on the ground and got the coats and blankets from the cart, and he took off their damp and muddy shoes, and they sat there in silence with their hands outheld to the flames. He tried to think of something to say, but he couldn't. He'd had this feeling before, beyond the numbness and the dull despair. The world shrinking down about a raw core of parsable entities. The names of things slowly following those things into oblivion. Colors. The names of birds. Things to eat. Finally, the names of things one believed to be true. More fragile than he would have thought. how much was gone already? The sacred idiom shorn of its reverence, and so of its reality. Drawing down like something trying to preserve heat, in time to wink out forever.